I'm here in Redmond with the Research and Software Engineering Group, and we're talking to Nachi today. Nachi is a researcher here, so Nachi, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Billy. My name is Nachi. I work as a researcher in the Software Reliability Research Group at Microsoft Research here in Redmond. I'm part of the Empirical Software Engineering Research Area that actually focuses on software measurement, failure prediction, and investigating empirical hypotheses. So most decisions in Microsoft and in software engineering are actually based on data. So the empirical software engineering area focuses on how do we make data-driven decisions, data collection, investigating hypotheses to better understand our process and product from the perspective of data.
So you've done some study on a popular development style, and you've got some interesting results to share today.
Absolutely. So we actually have done some work on test-driven development. So if you actually look at test-driven development, you know, even in a meeting, conference room, or even a group meeting, you'll actually find people on either side of the spectrum. There are people who swear by it, and there are people who actually don't believe in it, period.
Yeah, they're very passionate.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the interesting thing for us was, I mean, why is there such a huge gap? And we actually saw that there is actually a lack of data in this field. I mean, usually people make decisions based on solid data.
So you mean there's most of the stories are about personal feeling, personal experience, but no large-scale studies?
Absolutely. I mean, most of it is based on, you know, personal opinions or anecdotal evidence. So people say, we tried it, we love it. But, you know, you can't make a decision to move a team to test-driven development based on the fact that two people loved it. So where's the solid data behind this? The problem also is that, you know,
So wasn't there any study in the past that did this kind of thing?
That's a very good question. So there has been a fair body of empirical knowledge in this area, but most studies have actually been done on students. So they're academic studies where they observe students in a controlled classroom setting. So though that's actually very good for us to iron out some of the problems, it really doesn't have the dynamics that a team has. Their motivations are also different. They're working in a class and not really developing real software that will be delivered.
They're not betting their life on it.
Yeah, to some degree, their career too.
Okay. Yeah. So you did a study about TDD and...
Yes. So we actually did an industrial case study on TDD, focusing on three teams in Microsoft, Visual Studio, Windows, and MSN, three of the larger divisions. So one thing I must clarify is that this is not...
So you didn't interview 3,000 people.
No, we didn't interview 3,000 people. This was... these were smaller teams within the larger organization of Windows, MSN, and Visual Studio.
I see.
So the teams ranged anywhere between, you know, 5 to 8 people in size for the Microsoft studies. The interesting part was we also wanted to look at teams outside of Microsoft to address the experimental context factor that says, is this a company-specific trend? So all the three teams we studied at Microsoft actually weren't made up of very senior engineers. The main reason is, you know, if you have a very senior engineer, they can make any technique work. So we look at people with medium to lower, I mean, less than 5 years experience. And all of them were co-located in Redmond. So our other exact opposite was an IBM team that developed drivers, and that was made up around 9 people, and they were distributed. Part of the team was in Guadalajara in Mexico, and part of it was in Raleigh, North Carolina.
I see.
And, you know, the place where we address the fact that these are not toy programs is based on the size of the system. So the IBM study ranged around 41 KLOC, or 41,000 lines of code, whereas the Microsoft study ranged from 6,000 lines of code to 155 KLOC. So these were significantly large systems. And to contribute more towards the diversity of our study, they varied in programming languages from Java for the IBM study to C, C++, and C# for the Microsoft studies.
So were they practicing any kind of testing, or did they start TDD?
All these teams were actually starting TDD. So this was one of their first experiments, which also made it nice to actually understand what their perceptions on TDD were. And leading to the fact, I mean, if you look at, for example, the test code that was generated for all these teams, the IBM study for a 40 KLOC project generated 25 KLOC of test code. Whereas for the Microsoft studies, it ranged from 4 KLOC to 60 KLOC of test code. So an interesting point that came out was most TDD practitioners, or, you know, people who discuss TDD, talk about the 1:1 ratio between source to test code. Whereas in our experience, practical experience, we saw that this ranged from around 0.4 to 0.89. never reaching the 1:1 estimate that most people talk about. The nice thing about our study was that this was done retrospectively. So this is a real project in development. So they didn't know they were going to be observed later on or data was going to be collected.
So you didn't influence the experiment by the measure.
Yeah, and that's a very crucial aspect of any study, that there shouldn't be any influencing variables. So since it was done post-mortem and the team was actually doing real software development, they didn't have any motivation to make the study work or fail. Their job was to make the project succeed.
So now I'm really curious, what were the results?
Actually the results were very fascinating. It was actually a no-brainer in terms of quality. I'll show you some of the numbers here. For the IBM study, there was a 40% reduction in defect density. Because, you know, defects are the ultimate indicator in code quality. For
example, that means defects found in the field?
Post-functional verification tests.
I see.
And, you know, post-integration defects. So the Microsoft studies, actually, there was a 90% reduction to a 60% reduction. 60 to 90% reduction.
Wow, that's one order of magnitude.
Absolutely, yeah. But there is a slight catch here. It took more time to develop code using TDD. It was around 15 to 35% more time than the teams that didn't use TDD. So to compare, what we did was we had a nice comparison scale. For the IBM study, they were re-implementing the project. So they had a baseline to compare against. Whereas for the Microsoft study, we actually took groups in the same organization with similar complexity and studied their defect density. So we have a two-way comparison. One is based on comparable projects. The other was looking at the same project in a different context.
I see.
Or a prior version of the project. This is nice because, you know, in an experimental study, you can never get the team to re-implement the project again using non-TDD techniques. So this provided us with a nice baseline for comparison. And these numbers are based on that baseline. So is the 15 to 35%
expert difference. So you pay up front, but you get a better code.
Exactly. And it becomes a trade-off. I mean, do you want to invest these 15 to 35% during development, or would you prefer to actually be feature complete first and then actually invest this 15 to 35% to fix the tail of defects? The catch is you could actually see a longer tail of defects that would cost you more to fix.
I see.
So it actually makes sense to invest this upfront to fix the bugs.
So we've gone through a lot of numbers. Can our Niners look at them closely, and how do we know more about your study?
Absolutely. You can actually learn more about the context, some of the best practices, the learnings, and the actual data itself. It's available as a detailed paper that's available on the ESM homepage or on my homepage.
So it's the link will be available on the
Absolutely,
on the,
yeah.
On
the link will be available and people can actually go take a look at it and see what they feel.
Great. Well, Nachi, this was a very interesting talk. Thank you for your time. Absolutely. And